Hey, good morning and welcome to Faith Springs Live. I think this may be the last one that we do from my home. Next week, we're going to be live in Pearland at the church if all goes well. I think it's going to work out fine. It seems like the numbers haven't peaked to any situation to where we need to get paranoid. We're just going to obviously have safety precautions in mind when we come on. But so next week, we will be at Faith Springs Baptist Church on O'Day Road in Pearland, but we will be right here live with you at 10 o'clock. So those two services will be 8:30, 10 o'clock. If we have a growth and a crowd that can't be retained in those two sets, we'll have an 11:30. So 8:30, 10 o'clock for sure. If needed, we'll have an 11:30 one. So if we get to a max at the 10 o'clock service and we say, hey, wait, if there's enough people that want to come back at 11:30, we'll do another service. But it's good to have everybody. Welcome. I have had a battle with trying to figure out what message to do and how best to do it this morning. I want everybody to let me know they're on. We have a lot of people already on. We are live on Facebook through the BBS radio. We're live on, I think, Facebook on Shattered by the Darkness. We're live on YouTube and the Zoom and all that other stuff. I don't know what other places they kick us out to. We may be live on NBC. Who knows? I hope not. I'm not too thrilled. But anyway, let me know you're here. If there's anything that you want me to share, kick it on here. I do want to say some happy birthdays. I'm so bad at birthdays. I don't know why I am, but I am. But I want to say happy birthday to Mike O'Day. Mike O'Day had a birthday this week. He turned 30 years old. Do you believe that? Now, I won't tell you how old he is, but Mike had a great birthday this week. And let's see. I believe Archie Robinson had a birthday recently. I don't remember exactly when. I'm so bad. I believe it was sometime last week. Here comes some – somebody needs to mute. If you're not muted, go ahead and mute. Oh, good. Good to see y'all. I think I can mute you. I'm going to go ahead and mute you. Don't take it personal. Okay, good. Oh, good. We got some great people on. Well, we always have great people on, but fantastic. Here they come. Listen to them. I just love that. Ding, ding, ding. Oh, and Monica Plumber's calling me. Thanks, Monica. Good morning, good morning. April, and, oh boy, here we go. And just come on, and they're just keep on. I love this. Now, next week we'll do the same thing, but we'll be at the church. So I'm going to try to allow me to be, of course you always have, goofy and original. I was just talking to Don before the service. We're going to try to, this is called fluff before we get to the sermon, okay? I'm trying to do a little different. At 10 o'clock, I'm going to have my phone. I'll be talking to the online people. And then we'll kind of give them a behind the scenes of what's going on. And then I'll say, okay, we're getting ready to go right into the service. After the service is over, when I say amen, I'll go back to the online people and talk to them directly. So they're going to get to join in on the service, but they're also going to see a little before and a little bit after service that you guys won't if you're live in the building. So just want to give them a little extra. Oh, this is great. No problem, Monica. I would have answered. I was getting ready to answer the phone. Good morning, Jean and Peggy and Charlie and Patsy and Gary and Sherry and Deborah and Candy and the Germans and Carl and Amber and Jack Manley. It just keeps going on and on and on. We got a whole bunch of people here. There's some people here I don't recognize, but that's okay. Good morning, the Hickman family. They're here. We're going to, I was going to do it today, but I thought that wasn't fair because I believe the graduates deserve an actual live congratulations. So next Sunday morning, I've changed my mind. So we have graduates that we're going to just acknowledge and give a gift to next Sunday morning at the 10 o'clock service. So if you want to come and be part of that, or at least watch in at the 10 o'clock service if you're a graduate. One is Jaylene's granddaughter, graduated, I believe, high school. I'm going off my mind now, and that's bad. Lauren Sanchez graduating. Lauren should not be graduating. That shows that we're getting old. Graduated also. And then Luann's grandson has graduated too. So we have three. If there's anybody else, and I wanted to make sure we didn't miss anybody. I know Esther has been sending out a lot of stuff and trying to contact people, but if there's anybody that's graduated in your family, from any kind of significant graduation. So kindergarten is significant to me. Eighth grade, high school, and or college or technical school, let us know. And next Sunday, we'll try to have a PowerPoint up for you. Let me know immediately following church, or you can text me now.
Thank you.
What's that make you? Okay, I catch you. I'm getting you've been hammered by the comments here. Thank you, Jack. Anyway, so let me know, and we'll get you acknowledged on that. So next week, and we're trying to come up with a guideline, we will have, and deacons, be alert. So deacons, right now, if you're on, listen up. I will be having a conference call with you this week, early part of this week, and I would like to have your assistance. If you are coming to church next Sunday, I need your help. We're going to need help seating people. We're going to need help making sure they don't have a fever, that they all have masks, that they all are sanitizing. And then I also need help between the two services of making sure everything is up and running and sanitized as good as it can be. So make note of that. A couple people are not muted. If you could please mute, I would appreciate it. Let's see, I'll mute that one. Okay, good. I have that power. Wow, that's power. Taylor's here? Okay, fantastic. All right, I'm going to get started. I'm going to shut this down to mute this morning. Hope you have your coffee. It's been a good week, been a long week. It's Memorial Day. Yeah, hang on. Sometime between now and the end of the day tomorrow, take time to send an email, a note of encouragement to a family member of someone that has served in our military. We have so many people in our church family that has, but this is Memorial Day weekend, and it's not a time to, you know, grill hot dogs and steaks and burgers and celebrate the beauty of the weather. It's a day to remember those that have given their lives to let us experience the freedom that we have. The freedom is celebrated on 4th of July, but this is Memorial Day. Those people that have given their lives, that have gone on before us, that have sacrificed their lives for the specialness of what the United States is. And it seems like, even though it irritates me that the Republicans and the Democrats and all the other opinion people clash on everything. We can't agree on anything, and they mouth off, and everybody's on TV saying things, and just stuff is just flowing around crazy. That's the freedom that we have in this country. That's one of the things that makes us the specialness of the country that we're in. So instead of looking at it and always going, oh, no, you have the freedom to turn it off too. But people fought for that freedom, and the freedom to be able to come out and do what we do and be able to have church. And the government has kind of controlled when and where. But we could have probably had church a couple weeks earlier, but it was our choice to open it up when we wanted to. But to be able to be in my home, to have hundreds of people listening right now, and then thousands of people listening before the week is out for this service, gives me an indication that we are in a free country. Some countries do not have that freedom to even be able to get out on a wavelength like this, and people's blood, sweat, and tears and time has gone into that. So I salute each and every one of you. I love the families that have given to the military, and we have a lot of those veterans in our service and in our family, but those that have actually lost their lives on the battlefields that I don't even think my generation and younger knows what that's like. I'm proud that I've had two boys in the military and one that still is. Matt served in the military in the Army. And matter of fact, a year or two served as a guard at Guantanamo Bay and was face to face on the other side of the bars from some of the iron bars from some of the worst terrorists in the world that's held at that prison at Guantanamo. And Matt came back then, and him and his family's in Nashville now. He got out of the Army. Curtis is still in, and I'm proud of that. So that's just a moment and a holiday, a special weekend just to say thanks. And I did watch some awesome videos yesterday online from Bill Gaither about some of his songs that they have about honoring the flag in this country. And in my school of thinking, I guess I'm old school. If you don't stand up for our flag, I don't have much to say about you. There's a respect that is demanded in our flag. And I am proud that we have the country that we do. And thank you for each and every person that has served. And the least we can do is in a stadium that's filled with 100,000 people, when they say, "Will you now rise for the national anthem," that everybody rises and everybody shows respect. That's the least that we can do for the people that gave their lives for what we are enjoying today. So thank you, and we do remember you. We better never, ever forget, or history will repeat itself. So thank you for that. If you would, I think that's all. I'm going to look in one more time and see if anybody's got anything to say. Yes. Okay, good. Get your Bibles out if you would. We're going to talk a little bit this morning. While you do, I'll do a little commercial for tonight. Tonight at 8 o'clock, have an unbelievable speaker and author. This may be one of the best interviews that I'll ever do. I did all week long University of Michigan webinars. I was leading some, believe it or not, teaching and training to the physicians and also the residents and the fellows at the University of Michigan, and had a great time with them, talking to them online, and it's live now, and they're watching it over and over and over. But that was great. And it was just like, wow, that was so good. I think tonight when I log off after the radio show, I'm going to be able to say, wow, that was one of the best interviews. And it's because of this guy right here. Harry Wardle is going to be the guest on tonight, and he has written several books. Mac and Dana, I tell you what, Mac, you gave me, I believe it was the one, you were the one that gave me this book several months ago. This is the guy that's going to be able to tell that whole story tonight online. 8 o'clock tonight, Central Time, Breaking the Silence, and we're going to talk to Terry Wardle, the author of Some Kind of Crazy, and the author of several other books, bestseller books, Every Breath We Take, Identity Matters, Discovering Who You Are in Christ. He's a pastor also, and he has a wonderful organization, and he has a wonderful story. And I've read this book this week, and it's an unbelievable book. So join me tonight, 8 o'clock tonight, Central Time, Breaking the Silence, right here on bbsradio.com. Okay? Let's get to our Bibles, if we could. I'm just so excited about joining, being live with you next week. It's going to be so hard to not just run up and hug your neck and grab you and give you a big, big squeeze, but we're going to try to prevent that. We're going to try to keep it as safe as it is, as it can be. If you are in that group that could be a compromisable group, that you really want to try to stay as healthy as you can, or you have some issues that health issues already, and you really want to make sure you're safe, the first service would probably be the most recommended because the building would be completely clean. We're going to try to have all the senior saints come at that 8:30 if possible. The 10 o'clock, obviously, there's going to be a quick clean of the building, of the bathrooms and things. And we're going to probably have more children in that one. And of course, we won't have any coffee. We won't have any donuts. And I know, I hate that too. But we will not have any children's services or things for the kids, a nursery or anything. So if you bring your kids, be ready to have them in that 6-foot area as a family. And so just come and be a part. But probably the 8:30 service will be the one I recommend you come and be involved in. Okay? Let me get one more drink. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Book of Psalms. We're looking at Psalms. The Book of Psalms, I think we were in the Book of Psalms last week. You know, we've been talking, I think we've been doing this 6 weeks, 8 weeks. I don't even know how long we've had the online. But we've been talking about a lot of things. Faith, stress, anxiety, anxiousness, trauma, depression, how to make it when you don't know how to trust God, which is what we talked about last week. But there's no way to have a discussion about what you're dealing with life unless you make it aware. So today, what I want to talk to you about is in the Book of Psalms. You got to find it. Turn all the way into the hundreds, 147. Verse 3, how do you deal, and this is going to be serious, how do you deal with wounds that are inside of you? You're closer. That nobody else knows about. Those hidden wounds that you haven't expressed. Those things that in the middle of the night concern you, that bring you tenseness, that brings you pain, heartache, tears in the middle of the night. How do you handle those hidden wounds? And that's what we're going to talk about. But I want to encourage you that Psalm 147, verse 3 goes like this. He heals the brokenhearted. That's God. God heals the brokenhearted, and he bandages their wounds. God does that for us. So as we start into this today, I wanted that to be kind of just like the kickoff verse to just let you know that God cares, God handles, God heals. And, you know, I've been a pastor for a lot of years. More than what I ever thought I would be a pastor, to be honest with you. I tried to retire twice. And two things I know for sure. One, everybody has a hidden wound. Everybody that's listening, and I'm looking down the list here, and I can go here and look down all these people that are here. Everybody has a wound, every one of you. Not just a physical and a visible. Every one of you listening to my voice right now and will be listening to my voice in weeks to come online have a hidden wound. It's inside of you and you've masked it over to try to hide it. At least one. It could be an emotional scar from somebody in the past that hurt you in a serious way. And the other thing that I've learned over all the years is that, I didn't know I was going to get this serious as fast, is that the emotional scar takes a lot longer to heal than the physical. It's so much easier to, if you have a physical wound, for that to be healed and go, okay, I'm better. But to have that emotional, internal, hidden wound, sometimes it takes more than a week or two. It can take more than a year or two. And some of you are still dealing, like me, I'm still dealing with the wounds that I had now over 50 years in my life that I'm still dealing with. So you have a wound. How does God heal those wounds? And we're going to give you some points to write down. So make sure you have a pad of paper and a pen. I always try to give you something that you can use or that you can share with somebody else. There's a step in God's healing process for those hidden wounds this morning. And kids, this goes right along with you, so don't just fade off and start playing the game. This concerns you, because I guarantee you, I was thinking the other day as I was finishing up one of the chapters in my book, that I remember being bullied on the bus. And it was one of those things that I put back in the back of my mind. I remember the trauma of when that one kid would get on. I can tell you his name. His name was Terry. When he walked on that bus, everything in me, because I thought, oh, don't let him sit by me. Don't let him sit by me. And when he did, it was, oh, my lands, the bullying that he did. So this affects kids too. How do you deal with those things that nobody else knows about? But I do want to let you know that Jesus wants to heal every one of them. He wants to be your healer, because it says that Jesus, one of God's names is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. That's what he wants to do this morning. He wants to do that for you. So, and that's in Exodus 15 where he says that. We already talked about Psalm 143. Number one, how does God heal hidden wounds in your life? The first step of the process is probably one of the hardest, is you have to reveal the hurt. You have to realize there's a hurt. Psalm 39, 2 and 3 goes like this. I kept very quiet, but I became even more upset. I became very angry inside, and as I thought about it, my anger burned. I want to look that up in another version just to see if it's another version that could be even better. I like doing that. Or more understandable. Psalm 39, 2 and 3. I love God's word, don't you? It goes like this. I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred up. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. There's a hurt there. Sometimes when we're hurt, we become quiet. Sometimes when there's a hurt, we want to hide and put that pain away like it's not happening anymore. He's saying here, holding on to hurts is like carrying literally hot coals in your heart. And you're the one that's going to get burned. You're the one that's going to end up affected. So you have to make sure those hidden wounds, when you try to stuff them down, they cause more damage. And when you keep on stuffing those wounds down, they never have an opportunity to heal. To be able to have the steps of how God heals your hurts, the first thing you have to do is to reveal that you have them. Psalm 32:3 goes like this. When I kept things to myself, I felt weak deep inside me, and I moaned all day long. He's saying, when you hold these hurts inside, it's emotionally draining. It'll take you down quicker than a New York minute. When you're emotionally hurt and you start thinking about that, or something triggers that, we're talking about that with the University of Michigan all week, you have emotional things that trigger a song on the radio, a time of the year, a time of the day, a certain place, a certain car, or somebody that just comes by that resembles or looks like the person that you are hurt about. Triggers those emotional pains inside of you. How do people deal with it? Well, you tell me. You try to just forget it? That doesn't work. You try to run from it, from that emotional pain? Well, I thought I had that buffaloed for years until it took me down. Just ignore it. I've had people that told me, oh, it's no big deal. They did me wrong. They hurt me. They abused me. They did that, or my husband did this to me, or my wife did this, or the kids ran off. No big deal. I don't mean it doesn't matter. Kids are kids. And ignore it doesn't help. You may pretend it does, but it doesn't. It does not help the healing process. Ignoring it does not. That's like me getting an infection on my arm and going, oh, it's no big deal. And then it grows and grows and grows. Ah, it's no big deal. It'll go away. I'm just going to ignore it and pretend like it's not there. Before long, it will affect the entire arm and possibly your entire body. You can't ignore it. So you can't run away from it. You can't just forget it. You can't ignore it. That's how some people deal with this. Or how about this one? Some people do this. You blame everybody else. Some people have securities. Some people have insecurities. I mean, some people have things that's happened to them as a child or even as an adult. And you blame other people for it. And you don't understand that you need to be healed from that hurt. So in the process of that, when something hurts you, or brings back that trauma, brings back that thought in your mind, or that process, or that anxiety, or that nervousness, or that feeling of wanting to rage out at somebody, instead of blaming them, go to the hurt that caused that to begin with. That's how to experience healing, to reveal it. Don't do the processes that so many people do. I get people that will call me or email me or text me, and if I don't write, text, or call back or answer immediately, they automatically, within seconds, will call, text, or write me and say, oh, you must be mad. No, I may be in the shower. So it's the process of something's happened that's caused you to have that much insecurity. And we talked about this last week. Maybe it was on something else I did this week with webinars. I've talked so much, believe you me, can you imagine? That you think everybody at the office is talking bad about you. To be honest with you, nobody's even thinking about you. Just because you believe it doesn't mean it's real. So I want to encourage you to not just forget it or run from it or ignore it or blame others. And some people cover it up because you feel guilty. We think it's our own fault. One of the first things I do, and I get calls sometimes lots of calls during the day, but on the counseling line that I have from around the world, I was talking to somebody, I think it was last night, or the day before, I can't remember. We've talked a lot. Daniel from San Diego, and he wrote me about his pain, about his abuse, about his hurt, about him being at the age he is and having a wife and kids, and he keeps going back and battling, and he don't know how to get over it. And he keeps saying, Greg, how can you help me? Please give me some wisdom. And one of the first things I always say is, hey, Dan, it's not your fault. Okay? First of all, I want you to know it's not your fault. Stop blaming yourself. But extending the invitation of telling me about that is one of the first steps to the healing. Reveal the pain. And in that, you got to be honest. And there's three different types of people in this. Honest with who? Here's who you need to be honest with. Okay? This is still under number one. I need to reveal my hurt. You need to be honest with yourself. You need to finally sit down, and maybe it's where you're at right now, and say, this hurts. Not ignored, not pretended, not covered up, not masquerade over, but this hurts. I'm hurting. There's pain here. So be honest with yourself. And then be honest with God. God knows how you feel. He just wanted you to say, God, I can't handle this anymore. He says, I know. I've been waiting for you to say that. Now I can help you. But tell me where it hurts, how it feels. Ask me what you want me to do to help. He wants to hear that. And then the third thing is you need to be at least honest with one other person that you trust. Tell somebody. Let it come out of your mouth. You know, people have lost loved ones. And I keep thinking about my mom. My mom was never the same. And mom turned so bitter, but she never reached out to try to get help to anybody, to me, to God, to family. She just blamed and bitterized the rest of her life. And it changed her life. There's people that's listening to my voice right now that have gone through so much trauma, so much hurt and pain that is causing you to be different than what God intends for you to be. So reveal the hurt. Reveal it to somebody that you trust. Job, and we talked about this before, but Job 18:4 says, you are hurting yourself. His friends told him, you are hurting yourself with your anger. Job 18:4. So reveal your hurt is the first way that God can heal your hidden wounds. Not the ones we've been talking about, and not the ones that this world is doing to us right now. This goes deeper. Your hidden wounds. Reveal it. Number two, release those who have hurt you. Forget this. I'm done. I ain't going to do that. Are you kidding me? Yeah. And let me tell you, if I don't realize that ain't one of the hardest things in the world to do. But we have a perfect example of one who did. And I want you to see that. But release those who have hurt you. There's a secret here. Getting even with that person, it's not going to take the pain away. The person that hurt you and you getting even with them isn't going to take the pain away. So there's a key word that I want you to remember today. And you've all heard it. Forgiveness. And I know that's a big pill to take. Forgiveness to your parents for what they did to you, to your spouse for what they did to you, to your best friend for what they've done to you, to somebody that betrayed you that you never thought would. And you keep saying the line that I did for years. They don't deserve to be forgiven. Are you kidding me? But you do that for yourself. It's like taking a crowbar out of the trunk of the car and hitting yourself in the leg and expect them to get hurt when you have unforgiveness in your heart. doesn't work. You have to forgive. Romans 12, 17 through 19 says, never pay back evil for evil. Never avenge yourself. Leave that to God. For he has said he will repay those that deserve it. Let Jesus settle the score. Trust God to balance the books. But you got to forgive. Psalm 56. We've been in Psalms a lot. Psalm 56. Got a couple versions of this one. But Psalm 56, 8 goes like this. You number my wanderings, put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? Another version says, okay, what's that mean? Stop, reading the whole book. Another version clears this up pretty darn quick. You, God, have kept a record of all of my tears. He knows. He knows every time you've been hurt, every time you've had pain, every time that you cry yourself to sleep at night. God has never closed his watchful eye over you. He loves you and he cares. A lot of scriptures here. I'm just going to read them under this one. But remember, you got to reveal your hurt. And then the next one is you got to release those that hurt you. And under the release those that hurt you, number two, 1 Peter 2:23. When Jesus suffered, he did not threaten to get even. He left his case in the hands of God. Think about this. Jesus had at least six wounds. A head wound, a face wound, a back wound from the whippings they gave him, hand wounds from the nails, feet wounds, and a side wound from the spear in his side. But the deepest wounds in Jesus' life, I really believe this, were the hidden wounds. The wound of betrayal. The wound of being rejected. The wound of experiencing hatred. He knew injustice. And Jesus could have blown them all away with just a, and they would have died. He had that power. But what did he do? The same thing I'm asking you and me to do. He stretched out his hands. He said, God, forgive them. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Hebrews 12:15 says this. A bitter spirit is not only bad in itself, but it can poison the lives of many other people. Do you have that spirit inside of you? Resentment poisons everybody else around you. Release it, let it go. And then one thing I want to do is before we get to the third one. Do you realize that bitterness can be passed on from generation to generation to generation? Those kids in your home, those children in your womb, experience that trauma, experience that in their literal DNA, and it can be passed on from generation to generation. Do you want to keep that in? Do you really want your kids to experience the same trauma that you did by reliving the bitterness and never letting it out and just force it on them too? No, you don't. You think you're being a better person by hiding it, but it's not the case. You have to release those people that hurt you, let God deal with them, and let it go. And let it go and be them. And experience the forgiveness that only God has and can give you and them to allow you to be the person that you need to be. There's so many people that we come in face-to-face contact when this virus isn't out there that you can see in their life. They're not mad at you. They're just bitter with everything, bitter with everybody in their world. You don't want to be like that. Reveal the hurt. Release the person that hurt you. Third thing. Got two more and I'm almost done. Replace the old tapes with God's truth. We have a cassette recorder, a digital recorder, a mental recorder in our mind. That is so hard to erase. I can still hear my dad's words. I can still hear my brother's words. I can still hear the tone in which it was given, the degrading things that was said. You may have the same thing. And if kids, if you're listening, sometimes mom and dads don't control their tongue in the way that they need to. I'm guilty of that too. I've said things to my kids that I probably should have never said in raising them. Don't hold that against them. Love them anyway. Because there's no dress rehearsal for this parenting. And kids, I really want you to love them and forgive them. Because sometimes it's the best they can do with the environment that they're in. And I'm not making excuses for them. I just know that Christ would want you to forgive them. Don't harbor it. And please, in your mental brain up here and in your presence, don't dwell on that. Erase it. Teenagers, you've been hurt by a boyfriend or a girlfriend. You've been taken places that you didn't want to go and you had no choice in that. Let me tell you something. Let it go. Erase it, or it will affect your life for the rest of your life. Let it go. Reveal it to God. Forgive and release that person that done it to you. And replace that junk, that experience, those words, those actions that you didn't deserve, nor did you ask for. Replace it with God's word and God's truth. That's the only way to not have it affect you for the rest of your life. This is so important. Everybody that's listening here needs to hear that, because I guarantee you everybody that's listening has something that they just can't get over. Let it go. Let it go. Sadly, some people are blaming God for that. Whatever happened. Let it go. College. Kids, the 20s and 30s, you had a dream, and somehow that dream didn't come to pass. I want to let you know, things can still happen that you thought you lost. Give it to God. Let that go. And then replace that hurt with God's truth. And the next step we're going to take, I'll tell you here in a minute. And I want to promise you, that dream that you thought is way past its a timeline to be able to happen can still happen in your life. Matter of fact, as surely as I'm sitting here in this chair, that I promise you that God's dream can be twice as big as that original dream that you're mad about that never accomplished. I promise you that. So 20s and 30s, don't give up on that. those millennials that have all of these thoughts and these wonderful emotions and wonderful ways of treating this world and doing things in this world, hang with me here. Replace the hurt with God's truth. Replace those words with God's word, and it'll make a difference in your life. I promise you, because your brain is hanging on to every one of those. Let it go. Some of you are still operating on faulty data, on faulty information. You were wired differently than what you were supposed to be. Unwire it and let God put you back together. Romans 12:2. Let God transform you into a new person. I'm going to look that up in this. Oh, my God. New King James. I'm preaching to myself. I hope you guys are getting something out of this. I don't know. I sure am. Romans 12:2, that's the New Testament, right? Romans 12:2. Boy, I had the book of Romans marked up. It is a good book. This is the one that you will recognize. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Not by changing churches, not by reading more books, not by meditation. Now, maybe meditation on God's word, but I'm talking about that New Age stuff. By transforming your mind. Transforming your mind. Erasing the bad data and put in the good. Put in the good. So you can prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's a powerful verse. We talk about that verse all the time. How do you do that? First, pray. God, can you heal that memory of mine? That thing that's hurt me? That open wound that's in my heart? It still hurts. Pray that to God. Can you please help me heal from that? Second, fill your mind with God's word. Fill it. Kids, you have all the time in the world at home right now. I don't know if these video games that you're spending hours on is really going to make such a wonderful impact on you later on in life. I really don't think that somewhere on your resume you can say, I have logged in 1 million hours on a video game. I don't think so. But I guarantee you, if you start filling your mind with this, and what I'd like to challenge you with, if I could, is get a Bible. Kids, I want you to do this too. Try this. And this isn't in my notes. I'm just coming up with this. Try this. I challenge you. For the next 30 days, mark it on your calendar, May 24th, and June 24th, come back and tell me if you're not happier, better, more secure, more confident, more full of faith. But just practice this. I promise you. And if I'm wrong, I will apologize and apologize to the world online. But I want you to make sure you do it. Get your Bible. Every morning when you get out of bed, or maybe even before you get out of bed, reach for your Bible and open it up and read. It doesn't have to be 20 minutes. Just a verse or two. Just read. A verse or two. What's that take? That takes less than the time that it does to text somebody good morning. To log into your Facebook account. The first thing, do this. Kids, 20s, 30s, adults, seniors, you can do this too. Check me out. And then when you're done, put it on your bedside, your bedside table, and leave it open. At night, when you get in bed, the last thing you do is read a verse or two. First in, last in. And see if it doesn't change your life. It will. You got to get God's word in you some way. And then throughout the day, you have the ability to have this on your cell phone. Pop up a verse when you're going up in the elevator. Pop a verse when you're in traffic and it's just backlogged and you know you're going to have to sit there 5 minutes. Instead of finding out how many people liked your last post, get God's word in you. So how do you do this? Replace all that junk with God's truth. You pray to God, heal my memories, heal my hurts, fill it with God, with God's word, number two. And three, you do is you believe the truth that is about you. Ephesians 1:4. Through what Christ would do for us, God decided to make us holy in his eyes. Without a single fault, we stand before him covered with his love. Ephesians 4. 1, verse 4. Last one, I only got a couple minutes. Replace the old junk with God's word. And number 4, last step in the process is refocus on the future. One thing I want to hit on the other one real quick is psychologists in a study recently, I wrote that down, has proven over and over again, your self-esteem, your self-concept, your self-worth is largely determined by what you think the most important person in your life thinks of you. Your self-worth, your self-identity, your self-concept is predetermined by who you think is the most important in your life and what they think of you. So if you make God the most important person in your life, I want to encourage you that he thinks you are the best. You are the masterpiece. You are perfection. You are exactly what he created. He loves you with all of his heart enough to die for you. So that should be the one that you put your self-worth in. Okay? The last one, number 4, refocus on your future. Get your attention off your past into God's plan for the future. I want to tell you, when we get back in the church, in the building, when we get actually in the new building, and it's coming along, we're still in the process of that, working through that. They're making great progress. We're not going to still be talking about COVID-19 a year or two from now, unless it's still around. We're not going to talk about this 2 or 3 months that we were all quarantined. We're not going to forget it. We may not do things the same way. But we're not going to be talking about it over and over and over and over. We're going to refocus on us being back and what God has in the future. And that's what you need to do with your past pain and trauma. Don't keep thinking about it. Don't keep bringing it up. Don't keep reliving it over and over and over. Refocus on what God has for your future. For your future. If not, you're going to get caught in a rut. In a rut. In Job 11, Job is probably the oldest book written in the Bible, but Job 11, through 16, when you read you this version here, which is the New King James, Job 11:13 through 16 goes, if you would prepare your heart and you stretch out your hand towards him, if iniquity were in your hand and you put it far away and would not let wickedness dwell in your tents, then surely you could lift up your face without spot. Yes, you could be steadfast and not fear, because you would forget your misery and remember it as waters that have passed away. Pretty good word. A different version that may make it a little easier to understand goes like this. Put your hearts in the right place. Reach out to God. Face the world again, firm and courageous. Then all your troubles will fade from memory like floods that are past, and remember no more. There's a three-step process in that verse. No matter what version you have, put your heart right. Give right. Release those who have hurt you. Let it go. Forgive them whether they deserve it or not. Get your heart right. Two, reach out to God. You need to ask Jesus Christ to have a major part of your life. You need to ask Jesus Christ, if you haven't in your life now, ask him to come into your heart right now. Ask him into your heart. And then three, face the world again. Don't withdraw. Don't pull yourself back into a shell. Resume living. Stop playing the victim. Start saying, I'm not a victim anymore, and you start looking ahead. Use those things as a stepping stone to be a better person, to be a stronger person, to be a person that can be used by God no matter what has happened to you. God has a purpose for you. God has a destiny for you. God has something just designed for you to do. And this is so important. Your past is not your future. That was then. This is now. Don't be stuck in your past. Because Christ is going to give you the power to get into your future. He has that in him. Proverbs 4:25. Look straight ahead with confidence and don't hang your head in shame. A lot of folks look for the pain relief in so many different things. Bitterness, drugs, alcohol, pills, whatever. Jesus is the way. And there's one thing that personally that's helped me in the last year or two is probably, let's make it step number five, reach out to other people. There's a lot of other people out there that haven't been healed yet that need the healing. Use your experience to be able to help them. Use your hurt and pain to be able to help them. You've got to turn that negative into a positive. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, God comforts us every time we have trouble. So when others have trouble, we can comfort them with the same comfort that God has given us. 2 Corinthians 5:17. When someone becomes a Christian, he's a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. New life has started. That's what you can have in Christ. Now, my short little prayer for you today as we close could go like this little poem. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what the scar. It doesn't matter what the sin. It doesn't matter how you fell. Somewhere along the way, there's healing for your life today. I promise you that. If you haven't asked Jesus into your heart, if you haven't given that pain to him, we've talked about all the open pains this last few weeks. What about the hidden? As we come together in the new location next week, next Sunday morning, 8:30 and 10, we'll be here for those people that want to join us online. I hope you are. I'd love to see you here or church, either one. You have all kinds of options now. Ain't that good? We got two options now. Well, three. You can be there live. You can be there 8:30. You can be there 10 and maybe possibly 11:30. It's there. It's for us. It's for you. God loves you. But don't hide it anymore, the hurt. Give it to him. Dear Lord, this wasn't the message I had at 3 o'clock in the morning. This wasn't the message that I had at 4 o'clock in the morning. Lord, this wasn't the message I had at 7. But this is the message, Lord, that you wanted me to give. So let it go out to all the people that's listening. Lord, for some reason, there's a child or there's a youth that needs to hear this in a major way today. I feel that as strongly in my heart as I've ever felt anything. Let them hear those words. Let them hear your word that can comfort them to get rid of that hidden pain. And you heal it. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the example that you did on the cross and all through your life of being hurt, neglected, whipped, betrayed, killed. More than what we could ever endure. But you came through. Loving, forgiving, and looking to the future. Thank you for that example. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One thing I want to offer. Now, before we close today, if anybody wants to text me, call me, email me with something that they want to share, with something that they want a personal word with something they want encouragement with, or steps on, or tools, or whatever it is, I'm here. I'm going to sit right here, and I will respond to you. I promise. Don't let it go. Don't close your computer and go, okay, I'm glad that's over. I didn't want to deal with that. No, this word's for you today. This word could be just for you and the other people that are listening. We're just listening in. It'd be just for you. I can't wait till next week, 8:30, 10 o'clock. If you need something, deacons, be on alert. Early next week, we'll send out an email that's going to have a conference call. And we'll need some help setting up, and we need help from a lot of people from setting up and getting the church ready for our first service. And it happens to be, hint, hint, on what the church service could be about, happens to be next Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, the beginning and the birth of the church in God's word, in God's festivals. Could it be? That's what we're going to talk about, the rebirth of the new Faith Springs Baptist Church. Next Sunday morning, don't miss it. Thank you for being here on Faith Springs Live, and we'll see you next week. If you need me, let me know. I'm hanging right here. I'm not going to move for the next half hour watching for your text, for your email. God bless you. I love you. Have an awesome day. We'll talk to you next week live. God bless you.